Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Well, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward. And I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and everyone in the 40 countries around the world who tunes in each weekend. I appreciate you. Tell your friends. But, you know, today we have a very nice show for y'all guests. But I'm on remote, so if y'all hear any outside noises, I'm on remote, so I got to do what I do, make things happen. But before we bring on our guests, I want to say hello to my co-host, Chris Michael Ward. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. How are you? Happy Friday.
Thank you, darling. I'm hanging in there in this heat, baby. But you know some. I hope I don't burn up because, you know, sugar melts. But, you know, anybody who's on the line, if you'd like to talk to our guests, hit the one key, and it will let me know to unmute the mic, and you'll be able to talk. If not, you can sit in the background and just listen. But my guest, man, she's a phenomenal woman, Miss Earlene Robinson. She is a fellow colleague, and she inspires others by sharing her truth and allows herself to be an instrument of empathy and encouragement to others. She's a published writer. She hosts her own show, Earlene PowerPoint 103.5. And you know something, you ought to sit there and hit the one key, ask her some questions, because you might be surprised what she might tell you. But before I get caught up, I want to say hello to this queen. How you doing, Earlene?
Hey, Terry. How you doing?
Girl, I'm making it do what it do. You know how we do.
Yes, indeed. I know that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am so happy to have you on the show because, man, you have did so many things that give other people hope, you know, because you're a woman like I am. You're not afraid to share your wounds, because I'm a firm believer that if you don't show me your wounds, I definitely ain't going to show you mine, so you can point your little finger at me. But, hey, I'll tell my own story, so you don't have no reason to do that. And so my first question for you, darling, what inspired you to become a writer?
Well, okay, so that's a very good question. Again, I want to start by saying it's an honor being here. I thank you for having me here on the show. And again, you know, sharing my thoughts, my views and opinions and stuff on my own personal life, you know. I appreciate you guys having me. And nice to meet you too, Chris. Okay, thank you. Thank you. So what inspired me to write? And I will have to definitely say it's a good question. So I'm going to say I have to go back to when I was a child, because, you know, we all had imaginations. We had imaginations. So my imaginations back then, I played with a lot of Barbie dolls, you know. So I had a huge imagination with my little friends and stuff like that. I'm talking about real friends. So we bought Barbie dolls. And even when we went to church, seriously, even when we went to church, so we imagined it because we couldn't take the dolls with us, so we just imagined it. So today, I believe from that point on, I have a vivid imagination. You can paint a story for me, and I would, I could clearly see it. I see it so clearly by you just speaking it. You know what I'm saying? So as I got older, sure.
I'm going to ask you a question real quick. You said that you and your friends could not take your Barbie dolls to church. Then girlfriend, you know, I must went to those round the way black churches, because those kids, they had snack bags full of food, Cheerios, they had toys, coloring books. They did it all up and left a whole lot of trash for my girlfriend to clean up later. But okay, you say you couldn't take these dolls. What church did you go to? Was it a black church?
Yes, it was. But see, this was a family-oriented church. This was a family-oriented church. Like, my uncle was the pastor. All his sisters were, you know, they belonged to the church. It was family-oriented. And then my father, yeah, all his sisters and brothers were there. So all these cousins and stuff like that. So they kept an eye on everybody, you know. And we had to pay attention because that was our uncle speaking. Not only the pastor, but he was our uncle.
Exactly, but that's why you couldn't bring it, because you was family, because my dad was a minister at his church, and my grandpa was a minister, you know, and they always got this thing, well, you got to be better than everybody else, because they're looking at you as an example, because you're the minister's daughter, a lot. So that's why, but I tell you what, the other people in that church probably had their kids with toys to keep their mouth shut while the sermon was going on, okay?
That's right. That's right. But that's what put that inspiration, I believe, to this day, Terry, I do, put that inspiration because, see, then later on I begin to put, now after the Barbie dolls were put to the side, I begin to put that on paper, that same mother and father of those Barbie dolls, you know, and sister and brother and family down the street, kids going to school together. I begin to put all that on paper and begin to make up stories and books. So that's what it's about, fictional stories for me. I haven't got to my autobiography. Let me slow down, okay? I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Well, you need to, because your story will help some people.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. You're right. So, but that's what inspired me, where I truly believe it to this day, are those Barbie dolls. I played it for years. And do you believe, let me share right quickly, do you believe that even as I got grown and I had a daughter, guess what I was doing? On my knees playing Barbie dolls with my daughter. So this is what I'm telling you. I believe that's where it comes from. Exactly. Yes, ma'am. Yes, indeed. And I love it.
But you know something, I'm not going to clown you about that, because even as an adult, man, I could not stop playing jacks. I love playing jacks. And the little paddle board that has a ball attached to the rubber band string, you keep hitting it, you know, the ball on the little paddle. I love that even as an old person. You know, I say, I be doing this. I say, how long I can do it before the ball fall off and stuff. But I love me some jacks, girl, and playing marbles.
You see there?
Playing marbles anymore, you know. I get down and I'm playing marbles now. We used to draw a circle on the carpet in the house. My mother would beat out behind. We'd be playing marbles. We had them little big fat ones. Girl, we got to talk. But anyway, Chris got a question. He said, I wish you shut up so I get my question. So go ahead, Chris.
But you know what? I think it needs to get out there, though, Terry. I really do. I believe it needs to get out there because, simple fact, we don't see that today with kids. We see video games and YouTube. Right. We've come a long way. So if they know what we did back in the days, maybe if we have another shut-in or another quarantine or whatever, kids can come up with their imagination instead of that, you know, computer and stuff, you know.
That's a good point.
Hopefully.
Use our imagination. That's a very good point. Girl, I'm telling you, and last time I'm going to tell you before Chris asked this question. Girl, it was so bad when I was growing up. We would get outside and have a little cup of water. We'd make mud pies and stuff, and we'd be cooking before the Easter bake oven came out that we could afford.
That's right.
So I made the mud pies. You know, I must have been stupid because when it got hard, I tried to eat that. I spit that garbage out.
I did too. Oh, my God. I was eating it. No, I did eat it. I didn't try to. I was loving it. I love the smell of dirt today. That's right. Absolutely.
But you know, some people eat that real dirt down in the South, because you said someone at the gas station, white dirt, black dirt. I said, people are paying for dirt. I should go get some dirt in my yard and give it to them half price.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, wonderful. Yes,
okay.
The mud pies were good.
All right. Of course, them two girls talking, they ain't forgetting about me. Okay, Chris, go ask the question, baby.
All right. Well, my first question for Earline is, what inspired you to have your own talk show, radio talk show?
Okay. Good question, Chris. Good question.
Yes,
the thing about it, yes, I'm going to go back to the books now. After getting pen and paper and begin to write and stuff like that, right, so I started talking to a lot of people, and they were telling me, you know, as a new, freshly writer and trying to get published, they said, well, you know, this is a good way to do it is to advertise yourself, start advertising yourself. So I already had a friend that was a co-host of a talk show. So what he did is one day he came over to the house and he set it up on a computer for me. He said, see, this is what I do, because she gives me, I think he said, 2 or 3 days a week on her show. And I go into DJ and stuff like that, and I grab my own audience and stuff. I said, well, hey, maybe I could promote my books if I can just get my own show. He said, you want to do your own show? I said, yeah. So he set it up right at the house for me. Later on, I told him about 2 weeks later, turn me loose, let me go, I'm ready to dig. So he kind of got caught his feelings behind that. Well, you don't need me no more, because, of course, I was paying him, you know. I'm not going to call him.
Right.
I was paying him for time. I began to fix up studios. I went in deep, and even my daughter was like, Mom, what are you doing? You're going from book writing to now you're a talk show host. She was, what are you doing? I can't support all this. So I said, look, we're going to do them both, okay? I just need you to have my back because we're going to do them both because I need them both to, you know, support each other. So it turned out pretty good. I began to talk about the books. But I did that for, like, maybe only a year. And then me, unselfishly, I'm not selfish, so I put the book to the side and then start letting people come on and talk about and share their stories. And that's why how we end up today. I don't even talk about the books hardly no more. That's why I talk to you and, you know, ask you, could I come on here and do this today? I do want to talk about it. But I want to keep it kind of warm and talk about the books because there are a lot of manuscripts, Terry. I have 32. Three published books and 32 manuscripts just sitting here. That's right. And had I not went full-fledged in on the show, probably would have been way more than that because you know what I'm saying, but just not published. So they're for the community. I would set up a table. I set up a table in the community in a lot of different spots and create my own books and sell them, produce them, and market them here, you know, myself. So it was kind of slow motion for that, as far as pay, making money, because you had to pay people for help and all this and that. Right. So I got burnt out on that, and now it's basically just about the show. That show is my baby, and I love the show. And but I'm going to get back into those books, though. I really, really
do that, because, Queen, you got a lot of stuff. If you got 36 manuscripts, the world needs to hear it. You know, don't hide it, because if something happened to you, we would not be able to benefit from the wisdom that you put in your book. Because what people don't understand is writers, you know, even though they call some of their stuff fiction, which means it's not true, every writer, I don't care who it is, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, they put a part of your stuff in that book. And even that fiction, some of
absolutely.
That is going to mirror their life, for real, for real. So don't listen to that.
That's right.
Fiction is always fiction. Nope, nope, nope. You got to read between the lines, girl, because some of the truth is in there, okay? So, well, I got a question for you, too, because Chris trying to be all smart with all these good questions he asked. Let me say something intelligent. Okay.
Okay.
The problem. What incumbents you got within the past? Tell us about that, because these future writers, you know, we don't want them to get caught up, because I've had problems too. But I want you to share your experience, and all young people out there who aspire to be writers, listen up, because we don't want you getting caught up in the game.
Absolutely, absolutely. So as I got published, first book was published in 2014, and then there were one every year, 14, 15, 16, every year there was one. On the third one, it stopped, and then I began to have problems. I'm like, you know, hey, when I see a paycheck, it was like a slap in the face due to all the research, journalism, you doing all this work, sitting up. Let me tell you, I got so deep into my books that sometimes it'd be 2 and 3 days. Sometimes my daughter would leave, and she would come back like a day or two later, and I'm still right there. She, Mom, what are you doing? So it got so bad I had to tell her, look, if one day you come in the house and you don't see me around, but you see in my office right there that book is open, go look inside of that book. Just look inside of that book, because I could be trapped inside of that book and stuck in it. That's how deep. I'm telling you, I'm serious. So just don't leave me in there. Try to get me out of that book, because something happened. That's how deep it was. So, and she realized that. So, it became a problem. So when they tell you, you know, as a fresh writer, guys, so all of you are out there listening in, look, though, it's going to get kind of hectic, but just hang in there. My advice to you is just hang in there. After a couple of years, I just got fed up with it. So what I did is I pulled my books from the publishing company, because I'm talking about hours after hours after hours of researching.
Wow.
You know how it is. I mean, I didn't fly from here to Spain or from here to Europe, but I did a lot of research on it. The clubs, the shopping centers, the restaurants, the hotels. So you could put that in your book. You know what I'm saying? And know the exact terminology to use. You want the right terminology to use to put in your book. So you do a lot of research on that. And then for a check, look, I'm too embarrassed to call the amount of my first check. I'm too embarrassed. So, but anyway, let's just keep it right there and just say it was a slap in the face.
On the, open the phone. I want to hear what that paper is between you. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, indeed. I'm kind of embarrassed to even tell you that. But anyway, after that, I began to just pull the books. I called up Amazon. First, the publishing company, look, this is not going to get it. See, more and more you give them, the more and more they keep their hand out, keep begging guys that are out there listening in. So they even went as far as begging and told me if I paid them $145, me 15 minutes on a talk show. Imagine that.
What?
And I got my own talk show, and they didn't even know it. They didn't know it. So, and then the more and more. So what they want to do is while you guys are out there passing out flyers to promote your book, just remember that publishing company is on that book as well. You're basically promoting them, okay? You're a fresh writer. Nobody knows you. The only way you can get some head lead into the publishing company is if you come in there with a big following from YouTube or something like you are somebody, and you call the publishing company up and say, hey, look, I'm Angela Staten King, or I'm such and such, such and such. They know you got a big following, so of course, hey, come on over here. We got this for you. We got that. We got this and that. But fresh writers, be aware. Here's a possibility you could be used. And I'm not, I'm just keeping it a buck.
Okay, well, I want to interject something real quick. You know, if all y'all fresh writers she's talking about, look, there's two places you can go for free. If Erling PowerPoint 103.5, you can Google her or you can Google me. Unmasked, the author is Carrie E. Lyle.
Yep. Come on, Terry. That's
free.
Right.
And you're going to get more than 15 minutes, baby. Check it out. Get a minimum of a half hour, okay?
That's right.
Yeah.
There you go. And there it is. That's right.
Yeah, you know, we try to help. And that's the thing is, Erling, we try to help people. And I'm so sick to see these people that's in the literary world and the radio world, you know, it's supposed to be our colleagues. And first thing they do, I've even had to pay to be interviewed, you know, and I'm so sick of that, you know, because knowledge is free, you know, but people out sitting there charging you to talk to you for a half hour or whatever, you know, you know, keep looking because those are selfish people. I have guests on my show that's charging people, like, I'm just going to put it out there. One lady, she said she was a fellatio queen, okay? You know what the word fellatio means. We don't look it up.
Yes, ma'am.
This female was talking about, she was charging people how to do it and how to use the great food. You know, you want to tell them how to put something in their mouth, shut the front door. I'm just going to say that. You know, I'm like, what? But you know, I'm about to say, I'm going to let Chris ask his question. Chris, you know how I do.
Wow. Yeah, I do. My next question, Erling, is what inspired you to – do you remember how you felt the first time you'd seen your work being published for the first time?
Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's do it this way. After so many years and years of writing, remember when we got started, we used to put them down on little paper, put like we're someplace and like say a doctor's office or whatever, and then we see something that we may want to put in a book. We jot it down in this on a little piece of paper. It started off with stuff like that, and years went by, and then it graduated into a big, a notebook, right? And now I'm filling up this notebook within a couple of days. That's how deep I was in it. So after years of that, and then finally I reached out to the publishing company, and okay, we went ahead and paid them their prices and stuff like that. And then, okay, within a couple of weeks, you're going to be the one to get your very first book, Erling. I said, okay, thank you. And then you check it off and see if you approve of it. So that day, you know, I'm waiting. Of course, I'm still writing, and the knock came at the door. It was UPS. And so I went to the door and opened up the door, package for Erling. So I go, and I, okay, thank you. I had to sign for it and everything. When I shut the door and I came in and I began to cut out of that paper envelope thing, there were 7 books. And when I looked at it, that was my cover. That was my name on it. That was that photo I picked out. That was everything Erling did. And it's like my mouth hit the floor. is seven books. I mean, I still remember that moment today of Tracy and Deja. You know what I'm saying? And, oh, my God, it was a beautiful feeling. And after that, it was on, Terry and Chris. It was on. I needed more of that. It was like a rush.
Yes.
And I had to call everybody up. That's right. I had to call everybody. It's here. I got it. Oh, send it to me. Look, y'all, I only have seven. I can't send all of this out. I got to keep. But you know what? Don't worry. There's more. Ooh, send me some. Send it. And I was so thrilled. But you guys, you know the rush from that, getting that book in your hand. I had to go tell everybody. A beautiful feeling. Wonderful.
Girl. You know, I so appreciate you, and I'm just like in awe that you have so many manuscripts that need to go out. And I'm not really in awe that they haven't been published, because what people don't understand, it costs money. This ain't free. And I'm going to put this out there so people hear right here now. Now, I might get you on my radio show for free, but, you know, us writers, you know, it costs us money to publish a book, you know, and we don't get paid. So stop coming to us like, oh, I'm your best friend. Can I get a book for free? Wrong answer. You pay for the book, because if you support me, buy a book. Show me that you support me. I can't give everybody free books and they ain't going to have nothing. You know, I'm just talking. If you love me like you say you do, buy a book. Don't be getting all that lip service.
That's
right. Get a book. Everybody, the family, the cousins, the siblings, the uncles and aunties, they want one. You know, I'm saving my free books for people who are substantial out there in the community, that who can further my, you know, being known and stuff. I'm giving them a free book. I'm not giving someone I know just because I know you a free book. You gotta buy like everybody else there. Yeah, I'm not.
That's right.
You know, I got to put it out there.
Okay, hey, and that's a beautiful thing. That's wonderful. But and here's another thing too. What I got back, I begin to print some of those books myself. Matter of fact, 20 of each. Okay, when I bought that copy machine, binding machine, all the ink and the color copies and this and that, I begin to do all that at home. I was going in on it. I mean, truly in. So I, the good thing about it is, I said if I'm gonna give them away, it'll be to people that don't have a voice, can't get it, and stuff like that. I'm going to see if I can get it into the prison system.
Right.
So what I did is begin to pen pal some of the people in prison just to get my book and my books inside. And it began to circulate pretty well until the letters begin to stack up. And I couldn't do the letters in the radio show and the writing and all of that, too. I mean, sometimes I go to the mailbox and there's like 30 letters in there a day. I couldn't keep up with that. So, but my books were getting into the prison, and that was a beautiful thing. Now, remember, these are homemade books. These are not corporate, American corporate-made books.
Yeah.
These are homemade, close to corporate, you know, but not. These are homemade books, my way, done my way. So I had to, it turned out really, really well. It turned out really, really well. I'll tell you what, some of them guys, when they got out, they came because I made a mistake, and I don't know how they got to it, but a couple of them knocked on my door, and I don't like that. I don't like that, so I had to pull the plug. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Look, I appreciate. Look, I got all your letters here. Look, I told you I was married.
Oh, my God.
I
was sending
my book. Yes, that's very scary. Very scary. So I had to let that go. And just stick with the look, Terry. And then I said to myself, I'm gonna stick with the radio show where nobody can see me.
I know that's right, because they don't need to know that you're a cutie on duty. They don't need to know that.
That's right. I'm serious.
I'm just talking to you. They don't need to know that.
That's right. That's right. Stay hidden.
You are something else. I just want to let you know, first and foremost, Chris usually say this, but you know, once you come on my show, you become
family,
and you're entitled to come back anytime you
Thank
want.
You.
All you got to do is say, hey, girl, I got something I want to talk about. You know, it could be about relationship issues. It could be about knucklehead guys knocking on your door, looking for that good shit. You know, let your husband meet them at the door.
Okay. Wonderful. I'm going to be here anyway. I'm going to be coming anyway.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because you know when they get out, they got one thing on mind. They ain't been around a woman a long time. Don't come knocking on this door. I got something for you. But you need my Smith & Wesson. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
You know?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And thank you. Thank you for welcoming me, too. I appreciate it.
Well, Carly, yes. Is there anything you would like to say? Because our half hour has ran out so fast, but you must tell people how to reach you, but you got to make sure it's a way where you're safe, because we don't do stalking on this show. We don't do that. We don't play that. You know, if you want to talk to my guest, do it legitimately. Do it on a website that she has acknowledged, or a media site. Don't go knocking on no doors, because he's married.
That's right.
And he's a guy. He got some phone calls to talk to his wife.
That's right.
And then she got
That's
a guy
right.
who does the kung fu and shit, right. you know. You don't want to be in your car, you know.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So, guys, look, you also can join me on Viralene's PowerPoint 103.5, okay? All you got to do is hit me up via email. I don't mind giving out my email. It's on my show, okay? That email address is Earlene, E-A-R-L-I-N-E, 51462 at gmail.com. Hit me up there, okay? And we'll talk about it. If you want to come on the show, be a guest there, share something, we'll talk about that, okay? And I'm also on the social media site called LinkedIn under Earlene Robinson, okay? Number to the show, you want to call in and join in some of the conversations is 563-999-3618, okay? And you guys know that's Blog Talk Radio. But that being said, hey, there it is. There it is.
Well,
a pleasure being here
yet,
with
baby.
You.
You're not finished.
Yeah.
You're not finished. You got to tell them the name of your three published books and how to get them books and get some records for your
Thank
pocket.
You.
Don't forget that, darling.
You see, that just goes to show I have forgotten about these books. Look, the name of the first published book, and I do notice that I did mention Tracy and Deja, it was A Hidden Sickness. It's in the introduction of the Earlene's PowerPoint. When you guys come on there and you hear it playing, you'll hear me mention it in there. It's called A Hidden Sickness. And I'll be able to, I'm going to get Terry to let me come on here and talk a little bit about A Hidden Sickness, because it is a series.
Sure.
It's like a 10-part series, yeah. That's what make up part of the books. And then we also have Tracy and Deja. So we have A Hidden Sickness, Part 1 and Part 2, and then Tracy and Deja is an independent book. I'll see if Terry will let me come back and talk about those books or the characters and stuff like that one day soon, guys, in the future.
Available.
Hey, let's do it. I'm putting it on
That's
my calendar right now.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Great.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh. I got some good news. I put my house up for sale. I put a for sale sign on my lawn today. And already I got a showing. That's why I'm on a location, because I can't be at the house while they're in my house rambling and looking. But that's okay. I'm just
Been there.
Congratulations.
I'm right now. Well, I'm out here. Hanging out at the parking lot with public beds. I have my old thing. I'm making my time wisely be used. Yeah, but I got my dog right here, a husky. Yeah, but you're going to come to my car door, you know, you're going to get ate up. You know, you don't want none.
And he's been quiet all this time? Oh, my God.
Wow.
Good
dog.
Know, I got some food in the back from Zaxby, you know, and she goes, I'm going to share. You got to shut up, because they know every Friday, a certain time frame, when I'm doing my show, her and my other dog, who's grown right now, they lay on the floor, and they don't make a peep, because they know I ain't playing at it. They know I'm a tough taskmaster when I'm working.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I just so love you.
Yes.
And, if you're available next Friday, that'll be perfect, because I've been so busy packing and taking stuff to storage that I really haven't had the time to devote getting my guests. And Chris is so busy working, you know, he didn't have dropped the ball for me. So, so I'm glad you want to come back right away. That'll work perfectly for us.
Great,
so
great.
Right,
I appreciate you guys.
She's going to be here next week, y'all, and she's going to talk about the hidden sickness. Now, y'all know some that applies to y'all. Y'all know y'all sick. You know, quiet as a y'all know y'all need to keep that.
You ain't right.
You know, come on, hear about your own story. You know?
You ain't right. Okay.
Oh, all right.
All right. So, with that being said, yes, I love you guys, too. And, again, it's an honor being here. I thank you guys so very much. Chris, it's a pleasure meeting you. We're going to network further in the future. I thank you guys so much. Terry, I love you. Take care, guys.
I love you, too.
All right.
You take care.
All right.
Have a blessed week, darling.
You too. And stay safe, everybody. Bye-bye.
Tune in next week, y'all, for Early, the lady who hosts the PowerPoint at 103.5. If you want to know more about Ms. Robinson, Google her. And, you know, come back next week to hear about her sequel to her story, you know, because y'all know y'all suffering. Y'all know y'all want to hear it. And with that being said, thank you so much, you know. And everybody have a safe weekend and be blessed.
Safe weekend. 4th of July.
Thank you. Yeah, it is, isn't it? All right, Chris, you be careful. And don't have no drinks left on the table. Somebody might put something in it, you know.
Yeah, right.
All right. Somebody might want to get you home, you know. But you take care, darling.
You too. Bye-bye.
Your family, baby.